Okay. So, okay, there we are, sound. So we can start this today's meditation session. And as always, just a few reminders on how to approach the idea of meditation. And as always, you just start off by just calming down a little bit and by feeling the ease, kind of getting into the right mood of being in your being in here. Always start off by just coming to that ease, the sense of ease of body and mind. When you feel relaxed, you feel at ease, and you're enjoying yourself, at least in a very basic way. But the most important thing with meditation practice is always about the your attitude, your approach, how your mind is set up as you start out. And there are many different ways of kind of getting into that right mood, if you like. And this is the most important thing, because if you're in the wrong mood, you're not going to be able to relax. If you are, you know, upset about something, you're thinking about all kinds of things, you can't really come into the present moment. So a lot of meditation is about skillful means of how to allow the mind to come into the present moment, to be mindful, to be aware, to get rid of the thinking, and just to settle in and enjoy this inward journey inside of yourself. Meditation is really an inward journey into the mind, understanding yourself. And one of the ways of doing that, this is a kind of a two-sided thing, is to, first of all, understand the unreliability. I was talking about this yesterday during the talk here. Understanding the unreliability of all the things in the world, how they are impermanent, how they are uncertain, how they will let you down in one way or another. That's the one side. And the other side is then to understand how the inner world can give you that relief, that freedom, that independence, that joy even, if you like, when you move away from that unreliability. You find that reliability inside of you instead. There's something very powerful when meditation works. You go inside of yourself. Like Ajahn Chah is reported to have said, you go back into your real home. Your inner world is your real home, where you feel at ease, you feel relaxed, you feel good about yourself, precisely because you are releasing from the external world. And one of the words that we use for this in Buddhism, we use the idea of what they call the sense pleasures, or the sensory world. So you want to turn away from the sensory world and move inside of yourself instead. So just by reminding yourself of the dangers, of the uncertainty, of the unreliability, of the impermanence of that external world, it actually gives you a little bit of what in Pali is called nibbida, which means a sense of dispassion or sense of disenchantment, even a sense of a little bit of aversion perhaps towards that external world. You know, you can't rely on that. The mind naturally wants to go inside. And so remember that. This is one of the reflections that is often taught by the Buddha. You can do this if you like at the outset of the meditation. All that is beloved and pleasing to me, all that is agreeable to me, will become separated from me. Right? Remember that. All these things in the world, they're so uncertain. You don't know when things are going to come to an end. You don't know when, you know, your belongings, your relationships, whatever. There's a degree of uncertainty there. And when you do that in the right way, instead of feeling sad about that, if you feel sad, it doesn't work. But if instead you feel, whoa, yes, let me go inside of myself instead and find that security and independence inside, then that contemplation is working in the right way. These are, you know, some of those skillful means, using the idea of impermanence, of anicca, to allow yourself to go inside of yourself, rather than allowing the mind to linger in the world outside, where it tends to be attached, where it tends to be holding on to. And to do this effectively, sometimes it's good to remind yourself of a particular time in your life when things really were difficult, right? That you have overcome, and to understand what happened at that particular time, when something didn't go right, when you weren't really in charge of things. If you remind yourself, you can see these things more clearly. It's often difficult to see these things on a purely theoretical level, but when it is real, when it is in front of your eyes, and you can't avoid it, then it often has a very much more powerful emotional impact. So remember one of those times, right? A time maybe that you were able to deal with skillfully, and then use that to understand in general the unreliability of the sense world outside of us. And then you think, oh no, okay, I don't want to deal with that. Just let it all go. Let me enjoy the peace inside, the beauty inside, where I'm free of all that, right? And then you understand the beauty of impermanence when you reflect on it in the right way. Be careful so this doesn't lead to aversion. Sometimes you may think, oh, it's somebody's fault, right? That the world is so impermanent and unreliable. It's nobody's fault. It's the nature of the world. This is just the nature of reality here. When there's nobody to blame, there's nobody to get angry at, there's nobody to get upset at. It's just the sense of, oh, don't want to deal with that. It's too unreliable, basically. Okay, so that's using wisdom a little bit, using some wisdom, some understanding of the world to move the mind in the right direction. All of these little tools come in very handy when we want to, you know, get a little bit more oomph in our meditation practice. So let's try it out and see what happens. Okay, so with every meditation, to start out at the beginning, just settle down, feel the body, feel that you're relaxed, that you're at ease. And as always, just make sure you get to that ease of the body, that sense of relaxation, that sense of just feeling good where you are sitting. Start off with that and get to that point first of all, and then you can focus on the mind afterwards. And as you go through this process of calming down and letting things go and allowing things to be and feeling at ease, and feel how nice it is to just withdraw inside of yourself, withdraw into this world inside, which is free and independent of all external things. What a joy that is, how nice it is to shut it all out. And as you do that, when you think about things in this way, you're building up a beautiful, positive attitude, and this in turn allows you to calm down even more. And if you find yourself drifting off into the future, into the past, fantasizing, whatever it is, then just a very gentle reminder to yourself that all of that is so uncertain, so unreliable. You don't know where it's going to go. In the end, it is all going to let you down. This is your chance to turn away from all that and go towards your real home inside, where you can find real independence and a sense of security. So take this opportunity. Don't allow yourself to be distracted by all those unreliable things in the world. Instead, come to the real meaning, the real essence of things, what is found inside of you, right here, right now. Thank you. And as you just allow yourself to just find peace in this way, allow the body to be at ease and to be relaxed, there often comes a point when the mind starts to become more present, more at ease in the present moment, and you just feel good about staying in the present moment itself. When you get that clarity, when you get that ease of body and mind, that is often the right time to allow the breath to arise in the mind. It often happens just by itself. And when you see the breath is there, very gently rest your attention on that breath, using no force, using no willpower. It's a very soft touch on the breath itself, and just allow the meditation from there to take its own course. No force, no willpower, just a gentle process.
And be very careful in this process of watching the breath, that you don't grasp onto the breath. Just allow the breath to come and go according to its own nature. If it disappears, it's fine. And when it comes back again, you gently re-establish your mindfulness on that breath. The most important thing is not to try to control things, but allow things to be. Allow things to happen naturally. And only then does the meditation become really pleasant. And when it's really pleasant, that's when it becomes deep and you're heading in the right direction. we are now coming towards the end of the meditation. So just before we come to the very end, just review your meditation for a few moments and ask yourself what has happened over the course of the past 45 minutes or so. Try to understand the process. Try to understand the causality, how you have developed the perception and the letting go throughout this time period. Okay, that's the end of the meditation. Okay, so are there any questions or comments about the meditation practice today here? Anybody want to say anything here? Everybody happy? Okay, good. There are some questions coming via the internet as usual, so we'll have a look at those. And then, okay, great. One question from, doesn't say who it's from Malaysia, okay, from Max in Penang in Malaysia. I find it hard to develop metta meditation. Can you help? Okay, so that's a fairly big subject to talk about. Metta meditation, and one of the important things to develop metta meditation, maybe before I even mention that, is to say that many people find it difficult to do this. I think it was Chris Perrier, who said once you fake it until you make it once. And it's a little bit like that. You just have to try again and again. Eventually, it starts to bite, this metta meditation. Many people find it hard to give rise to these feelings. So don't have too high expectations. All you have to do is just keep on trying. And eventually, one day, you will get there if you are sincere and you persevere about this. So one of the tricks is to remind yourself of the good qualities in the people that you are sending metta towards. Right, remember that there are lots of people in this world with very beautiful spiritual qualities. Remember what these qualities are. What does it mean to be grateful? What does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to be kind? What does it feel like inside of you? We all have some idea what these things mean, right? We all have times when we feel very generous, we feel very kind or compassionate to the people around us. What is that feeling? It's a very beautiful, peaceful, open, a friendly state of mind towards other people. And remember that these qualities exist in others. And often, sometimes, they exist in others even more powerfully than they may exist in you, right? Some people have developed these qualities very highly. So remember that. These people are out there. Remember this about maybe if you have a meditation group that you go to, it's very likely that there will be people in that meditation group who have those qualities. Send metta to the people in your own community, in your spiritual community. You know, sometimes here at Dhammaloka, send metta to all the people around you. It creates a strong community when we have a sense of compassion and kindness towards each other. And the same thing in Penang, when you do the metta, whatever group, wherever you do your sitting meditation, send it to those people who are part of your community.
And when you remember those qualities of those people, it becomes much more easy to send the metta, because those qualities are beautiful. Somebody who has those qualities is worthy of our good wishes. So try that. You don't have to focus on individual people. You can just focus on the directions, if you like, and just, you know, imagine all the beings out there. There are many different ways of doing this, but maybe that's good enough for now. So good luck, and if it doesn't work, you come back next time and complain or whatever. Okay, anything else anybody wants to say? Yes, Chris, yeah. Chris, can I see you briefly afterwards, by the way? I just want a quick word with you afterwards as well. Yeah, yeah.
I was just watching.
Yeah.
Bhante, I was just watching a clip on YouTube about compassion. And this guy, Steve Porges, he was saying that our nervous system is predisposed towards compassion when we feel safe. It's almost impossible to feel compassion if we don't feel safe. Mm. And our nervous system is tuned to have a perception of the in-group and the out-group.
Yeah.
The guys with the black hats and the guys with the white hats.
Yeah.
And Ajahn Brahma's oftentimes talked about expanding that circle of friendliness out in all directions in the world.
Mm.
So what I wanted to say is it seems from the latest research that one needs to establish a sense of safety before one can feel a sense of compassion. They're just, you know, it's so rooted in the nervous system that you've got to feel safe and then expand. So I just want to put the 2 cents worth in there from the research.
Yeah, thanks for that. I think that's a good point. You know, and this is one of the great things about coming to a place like this. The Dhammaloka Center is a place where I certainly feel very safe when I come here. You feel like you're with like-minded people. You feel, you know, there's a lot of goodwill in there and these kind of things. And it's a very good then to have that place. This is what it also means with a refuge, right? A refuge, a place where you feel safe. This is one of the great things, you come to this kind of place. And this is also why when you do the metta meditation or compassion meditation, the way it is traditionally taught, you do it first of all towards somebody you feel positive towards, right? And once you're able to give rise to that feeling, then the place, the safety has already been established. Then, as you say, you can expand the circle and you can bring in other people as well as a consequence. I think that's a very good comment. So get that sense of safety going first of all, yeah. Okay, so that's it for today. So let's just pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.